You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Wednesday, September 15th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we will take a look at last night's Orioles loss to the Yankees as they fall 7-2 on Tuesday night in Game 1 of a three-game series. Get you the five things you need to know as the Yankees came in and got a much-needed win for them against the Orioles. Then we'll take a look at the roster news and roster moves and some of the notes from the Orioles on Tuesday afternoon before the game. The O's placed two players, Tanner Scott and Jorge Mateo, on the injured list. Both of their seasons might be done. We will talk about what they did here in 2021. The Orioles, of course, called up two players as well. And there was some news that came out about Bruce Zimmerman's injury that could actually be positive in terms of him getting back on the mound before this season ends. And then at the end of the pod, we'll get you ready for Game 2 tonight between the Orioles and the Yankees. But that and more is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me every week to get in on the action and talk Orioles at Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So we start today with an Orioles loss as the O's fall 7-2 to the New York Yankees on Tuesday night at Camden Yards in Game 1 of a three-game series. Orioles are now 46-98 on the season, just two losses away from 100. But wanted to get you the five things you need to know from the loss that, frankly, you know what, for the Orioles, if they were going to win this series, which is but the best thing you can do to play spoiler, we know the O's aren't going to sweep the Yankees, but win two out of three, this was probably going to be the game that they lose. And first thing you need to know is kind of the reason why is because this was Alexander Wells' start. And I got to say, you know, he wasn't great, obviously, but this is just a really bad matchup for a young, soft-tossing, left-handed pitcher like Alexander Wells. His final line against the Yankees lineup, four innings, five runs on seven hits. He struck out three, he walked one, and he gave up three home runs. He threw 85 pitches in four innings and now has a 7.76 ERA on the season. And just to give it to you straight, when you have to face these big right-handed hitters, LeMahieu, Judge, Stanton, Voit, you know, that's four of the first five hitters you're facing. When you are a young, rookie, soft-tossing left-hander, it's just tough to get those outs. And that's what happened to Alexander Wells. He gave up a two-run homer to Aaron Judge in the first inning, and off the bat, it was 2-0 Yankees. He gave up three more runs in the third inning as well. He, you know, gave up a two-run homer to Stanton. He gave up a solo homer to Luke Voit as they went back-to-back. And it's just got to be tough for Alex Wells at that point to get through this lineup of big right-handed hitters. Now, there were some positives for Wells as, you know, he threw 85 pitches, won about 44% fastballs, and he was about at 90, hit 91 a few times. And the pitch was actually not bad for Alex Wells. He got four whiffs on that fastball. He got nine called strikes. He was in the zone well. His slider worked as well. He threw 22 sliders. He had four whiffs on that pitch as well, nine whiffs on the day in total. And, you know, his stuff overall honestly looked pretty good. Just what happened was he got behind some good hitters like Stanton and Judge when he didn't need to, and then he came into them and kind of gave in to those hitters, and Stanton crushed one, Judge crushed one, and frankly, Luke Voit's home run was probably the longest one, the solo shot that he hit in the third as well. But besides that, honestly, I thought the stuff looked pretty good from Alex Wells, and he has earned a couple more starts. I think he's going to stay in the rotation for the rest of this 2021 season. Obviously, he'll be competing for a rotation spot in spring training 2022. But the result wasn't good, but I thought kind of the stuff looked good in general. Just this is such a bad matchup for him right now at this point in his career that you kind of almost have to expect the things to go this way. But after that bad third inning, his final inning, the fourth, he did settle down and pitch pretty well in that final inning, but you know, it's tough for him to get through these innings at this point against that lineup. Second thing you need to know is that the guy who came in for Alexander Wells honestly did his job pretty well. That is Eric Hanholt, who the Orioles called up earlier in the week to make his debut with the O's. Hanholt, who pitched a bit in the majors with the Mets in 2018. Orioles made him a minor league signing in the offseason. This was his second appearance with the Orioles. His first one, he got hit around pretty good, but two scoreless innings for Hanholt, pitching the fifth and the sixth on Tuesday night. Now, he didn't have any strikeouts, but he didn't have any walks. He did give up three hits in two innings, but he put up zeros, and that's what the Orioles need. And he went through the Judge Stanton part of the lineup once in those two innings, and he was able to throw two zeros up there and really keep the Orioles in the game. You know, with 12 fastballs, 9 changeups, 6 sliders, he only got 2 swings and misses. And, you know, he was in the zone enough with that 94 to 95 mile per hour fastball, a solid changeup as well. And he got it done. And I don't think by the end of the season, Handhold will be in this bullpen. I think there'll be other guys who will get that shot, you know, whether guys are coming back from injury or whatever it may be. But it was nice to see him at least go out there and not get shelled and instead keep the O's in a ball game against a tough lineup like the Yankees. Third thing you need to know from this one is that Kelvin Gutierrez had an impressive night for the Orioles. And, you know, it was interesting yesterday, put out a poll on Twitter at Locked On Orioles, you know, after the Jorge Mateo injury, which we will talk about a little bit later in this episode. But, you know, I asked if you could only have one for the 2022 season of the Orioles, which infielder would you take? And I went with Jorge Mateo versus Ramon Urias. And Mateo got about 60-65% of the vote, which I thought was surprising. I thought it'd be more kind of split down the middle. But I thought about including Kelvin Gutierrez in the poll, but I just thought he's kind of on a lower level, and we've kind of assumed he's going to be DFA'd at some point this offseason. But he has been playing better as of late. Gutierrez had a 1-for-4 with an RBI and a strikeout at the plate, had an RBI single in the ninth inning for the Orioles' second run of the game in the 7-2 loss. He also made 2 pretty incredible plays at third base, and that's really what has impressed me from Gutierrez. It hasn't been the bat. The bat has definitely struggled a lot, but he has been fantastic with the glove. He made a play on a backhand slide down the line at third, made a great throw across the infield to get Aaron Judge late in that game on Tuesday night that was Manny Machado-esque over at third base, a play we haven't really seen made at third at Camden Yards since Machado was here. And I was pretty impressed by that, and you know what? I still don't think Gutierrez sticks around for 2022, but what I do think is I'm totally fine with him being on this roster for the rest of this season, playing defense. And here's the thing. The Orioles are probably going to DFA him this offseason. If he does pass through waivers and nobody claims him, totally okay with keeping him in AAA, having him in spring training next year, and just having him around. He is a perfect AAA depth piece for the Orioles in 2022, if that can happen. Plays great defense. He can swing it a little bit at times, but you know, he has some big league experience, can come up and fill in the major leagues in a pinch, and can really help some really important pitchers like Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall, who are going to be in AAA next year, can really help them defensively and help their confidence on the mound as well. So I'd like to see him stay in the org, although I do think he's probably a DFA candidate, but he continues to really help the Orioles on the defensive end this season. Fourth thing you need to know from the Orioles' 7-2 loss to the Yankees is that 2 Orioles left the game with injury. And it's even more concerning because 2 other Orioles were put on the IL with injury before the game, which we'll talk about in a bit. But first, it was Trey Mancini, who was in the lineup as the DH. He walked in his first plate appearance, and then when he came up to the plate in the fourth inning, he was pinch hit for it. DJ Stewart came in to pinch hit for Trey Mancini. Stewart finished with an 0-for-3 and a strikeout, but Mancini apparently left with right abdominal soreness. And so he is out of the game, and you're assuming it's a similar thing to the oblique soreness that has kept Mancini out, you know, periodically over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we hope it's just a couple days thing and Mancini can continue this 2021 season. Obviously, if they're going to be cautious with it, which they could be, it could end his season, you know, here at this point with not many games to play, just 18 games to go on the schedule. We hope that's not the case, but we will monitor that, and I wouldn't expect probably Trey to be in the lineup here on Wednesday night, but hopefully this does not end his season. And then the other one was Pedro Severino, who started the game behind the plate. He went 0-for-3 with a strikeout. He grounded into a double play late in the game and looked really slow coming up the first baseline. I believe it was in the sixth inning. And it was a double play. By the time the ball got to first, I mean, he was barely up the first baseline, was hobbling, came out of the game immediately. Austin Wins caught the rest of the game, did have a 1-for-1 and scored a run at the plate, got a base hit in the ninth inning. But Severino, and you know, that is another one that could hurt the Orioles. Brandon Hyde said after the game that Severino has been playing with upper leg and groin soreness, and he aggravated it running to first base, and he said he's day-to-day. He also said that Mancini was day-to-day, but again, that's another loss for the Orioles, and you know, that loss is even more so do you have to make a roster move, because it can be tough to play with one catcher for a while. So, you know, I would assume Austin Wins is the starting catcher for Wednesday's game. And, you know, if it's more than 2 days that Severino has to be out, you do have to think about putting him on the IL or at least calling up a third catcher at this point. And, you know, with Chance Cisco not in this organization anymore and with the Orioles, I don't think they're going to call up Adley Rutschman for this kind of thing. If the Orioles do need a catcher, we might see Brett Cumberland here at the end of the season if this injury continues to aggravate Pedro Severino, because there's not really that kind of veteran catcher in AAA. Really, the only guy is Nick Schufo, and he has been on the practice squad, the taxi squad, I should say, a little bit, but, you know, not too much and hasn't played a whole lot this year because of injuries. So I guess he could be a possibility, but I would say that maybe Cumberland has the inside shot if Severino does get injured, but we will monitor that as well. And then the fifth and final thing you need to know from the Orioles 7-2 loss to the Yankees is that Pat Valaika was back and honestly played pretty well. Valaika got the call up before the game Tuesday. He started at shortstop. He hit eighth. He had a 1-for-3, had a bloop single in the fifth inning, ended up scoring the Orioles' first run in that inning. Also worked a walk in the game. He got on base twice, and he made a nice play at shortstop, starting a double play early in the game. So nice return for Valaika, who again still is just hitting 194 with a 536 OPS on the season in the major leagues. But hey, good for him. But why is Pat Valaika back at the major league level? Well, the Orioles had to place two players on the injured list before Tuesday's game. Two guys who it looks like will be out for the season. That's Jorge Mateo and Tanner Scott. So that's the reason why Valaika is back in the majors. And coming up after the break, we will talk about those roster moves the Orioles had to make and what it means for the two injured guys, what it means for the two guys coming back to the bigs, and also a little update on another injured player, Bruce Zimmerman. Maybe some positive news about him potentially pitching again for the Orioles before 2021 is over. Coming up with all that after the break. So we'll get back to talking Orioles in just a second, but first, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Orioles every week, and yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Spotify Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Spotify Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to the big news or rumors like, hey, the news we're reacting to from the Orioles today. So go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. And follow me at Connor Newcomb to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it, as I'm planning to be live every single week. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Orioles, and I'll see you there at Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. And this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag, which is back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. And hey, even if your team loses like the Ravens did on Monday night, you can still maybe win some money on football at betonline.ag. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. You can also receive a 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. And don't forget to use the promo code NFL100 to get that deal. Also use the promo code LOCKEDON while you're there to know that we sent you. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. At betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So before the Orioles even started their series Tuesday night against the Yankees at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, they were definitely in the news making some roster moves and just some general news about the Orioles that came out on Tuesday afternoon. And wanted to get to all of that here on the podcast. And really wanted to start with the roster moves the Orioles made, because it looks like two players are essentially out for the season at this point for the Orioles. Those two guys are the infielder Jorge Mateo and the left-handed reliever Tanner Scott. Now, we start with Jorge Mateo, as the Orioles announced on Tuesday afternoon that Mateo was being placed on the 60-day injured list with right lumbar inflammation, and that it would end his season. Now, Mateo, we know really for the last 3 weeks or so, maybe almost the last month it feels like, has been kind of dealing with some back injuries. He's missed a game or two here or there. I believe he missed a three-game stretch at one point while he was resting his back. That was probably the worst it seemed to get, but it seems like that back injury just lingered for Mateo, and now, you know, with the 18 games to play in this season, I guess it just came to the point where, you know, it was time to put him on the injured list. And with this back injury, you know, if this happens in the middle of the season, maybe this isn't a 60-day injury, but with, you know, only about 3 weeks left in the year, you put him on the 60-day injured list because you can, and when you do that, you free up a 40-man roster spot, which obviously makes things a whole lot easier to fill your roster with other guys. Kind of the similar thing the Orioles did with Matt Harvey, where, you know, they just kind of put him on the 60-day injured list and did the same thing with Hunter Harvey as well to allow for other 40-man roster spots to open up, at least to get the Orioles through the rest of the season. And then you really take a look at the 40-man roster crunch once we get to the offseason, get closer to November and the Rule 5 draft. But speaking of the 40-man roster crunch, Jorge Mateo is going to be a guy who is going to be looked at really closely when the Orioles have to make these decisions. You know, we talk about a roster crunch because a lot of the guys that are on the 40-man aren't going to be on the Orioles 40-man roster come this winter for a multitude of reasons. We think the Orioles are going to sign a couple free agents this winter. That takes a couple guys out. We think the Orioles are going to be active in terms of waiver claims like they always are. That takes another couple guys out. Then there's going to be at least 5, 6, 7 guys who are prospects who need to be added to the 40-man roster so they aren't, you know, exposed in the Rule 5 draft this winter. There's another group of guys off the 40-man roster. So, you know, this all leads to guys who are really going to be question marks in terms of that 40-man roster. And you have some guys who, you know, the moves will be kind of easy to make, you know, maybe like a Kelvin Gutierrez. He was clearly just a placeholder for the Orioles. He's going to be DFA'd at some point. But then you look at a Jorge Mateo, and although both of those guys are infielders, both of them are waiver claims, both of them are in their mid-20s, they're very different spots and very different looks that you have to take in terms of keeping them on the 40-man. And this is why it's interesting for Mateo, because with his season being ended now with his back injury, we now have the full Jorge Mateo sample size at this point. And for Mateo, since the Orioles claimed him off waivers from the Padres, he ended up appearing in, you know, 32 games with the Orioles by the time his season ended on Tuesday afternoon. And in those 32 games, he slashed .280 with a .328 on base, .421 slugging. He had 2 home runs. He had 7 doubles. He drove in 8 runs. He was 5-for-8 stealing bases. He had a 24% strikeout rate, only a 6% walk rate. Although, what is good is the walk rate about tripled from his time in San Diego to Baltimore, and the strikeout rate went down. He was at a 2% walk rate and a 29% strikeout rate in 57 games with the Padres this year before being DFA'd. So that is a good sign. The 6% walk rate really would be the best of his career since his single-A days with the Yankees about 5 or 6 years ago. Another good thing about Mateo is, you know, although the injury happened, is that he just, across the board, hit better with the Orioles. And according to FanGraphs, he accrued 0.4 war in 32 games with the Orioles. He accrued just 0.1 war in 57 games with the Padres. So in this 32-game, you know, streak, he looked pretty good. He got on base in a lot of those games, ended up with a 105 WRC+, a good stat that the baseline is 100. If you end up with 100, it shows that your offense was about league average. He was at a 105 with the Orioles. He was at a 57 with the Padres. He just frankly got much better when he got in an Orioles uniform. Again, former highly ranked prospect. He can play every position pretty much. He's also still 26 years old, and, you know, he did not make his major league debut until 2020, so he's got a lot of control left as well. So I know the Orioles would have liked to get these final 20 games out of Mateo on the field as well and continue to get a better look at him. You'd obviously love a 50-game sample size rather than a 32-game sample size, and that would have been possible had he stayed healthy the entire time. But for Mateo, I think he's shown enough in this small sample size, and, you know, we know what he is as a player, and, you know, the crazy speed as well, and you know, he can play everywhere, I think the Orioles keep him around, and I don't know if he goes into 2022, you know, holding down a starting spot on the Orioles somewhere, but I think he's going to be on the 40-man all offseason. I think he's going to make it into spring training with the Orioles and be competing for an opening day roster spot. I think he's earned enough, and you know, there's still a high ceiling there for Jorge Mateo. Again, still 26 years old, still a lot he could do at the major league level, and I think he's done enough to stick around for the Orioles. Now, the other guy who went on the IL is Tanner Scott. Of course, the Orioles' 27-year-old left-hander who has just been really going downhill lately here in the 2021 season. And for Scott, you know, the Orioles called it left knee sprain. They're going to put him on just the 10-day IL, so his season is not officially over. But Brandon Hyde did say to the media on Tuesday afternoon that he said Tanner Scott's season is probably over. And you don't say that unless you feel like it's definitely over. So at this point, we're going to assume Tanner Scott is also done for the rest of the 2021 season. Now, Tanner Scott in a really interesting spot because, you know, what we had seen from him since the Orioles called him up in 2017 and beyond is that he's got this big fastball, he's got the wipeout slider, but he has no idea where in the world those pitches are going. And it was really interesting to see his development. Now, 2018 was his first full season, and he struck out about 12.8 batters per nine, 4.7 walks per nine. The Orioles were kind of like, we'll take that. And, you know, the ERA was 5.40. You want that to be better. But the strikeouts and walks were okay. He had a 3.40 FIP, a 2.96 XFIP. That is essentially fielding independent pitching, what your ERA would look like if you played in front of a, you know, league average or better defense. So they felt like he'd have a 3.40 ERA if he played in front of a solid defense. Said he played in front of a terrible 2018 Orioles defense, and he had a 5.40 ERA. So that was really a good season for him. Then you went to 2019 for Scott, and he pitched in much less games, just 28 games that year, but the walk rate was up to 6.49. The strikeout rate was about the same. Then you went to 2020, and it was 25 games, the shortened season. It was only 20 2/3 innings, so a small sample size. But what happened is the walk rate went down to a career low, 4.35. The strikeout rate, though, also went to a career low at 10.02 Ks per nine. But the thing is, the ERA was 1.31, and his FIP numbers and XFIP numbers were good as well. And for Tanner Scott, you look at 2020, and you just feel like, you know, maybe if the strikeouts are a little down, it's okay because the walks were more significantly down, and it made him a much more useful pitcher in 2020. So fast forward to 2021 for Tanner Scott. And it looks like his season is going to be over. Now, he pitched in 62 games this year for the Orioles, accruing 54 innings out of the Orioles bullpen, 11.67 Ks per nine, 6.17 walks per nine. So he's got the high walk numbers with the strikeout numbers not as high as they had been, and the 1.0 home runs per nine. He's giving up more homers as well, a 5.17 ERA for Tanner Scott. Now the FIP number is 4.40, so maybe some bad defense hurt him as well. But we're at a really interesting point with Tanner Scott because early in this season, it looked like he was kind of going to be the pitcher he was in 2020. He had a 2.53 ERA in 11 innings in April. He was solid as well in May. And then, you know, he was really good in June. He had a 1.93 ERA in 9 1/3 innings in June when he struck out 19 batters in 9 1/3 innings. And you're thinking, well, he's really pulling it together. Then came July for Tanner Scott. In 12 games in July, he had a 6.97 ERA. Then in August, again, he just struggled, a 5.63 ERA in August. Strikeout numbers went down. And then in the five games he pitched in September, 5 innings, 8 runs, 12 hits, 5 Ks, only 2 walks, but a 14.40 ERA for Tanner Scott, who now has a 1.57 whip as the 27-year-old lefty season ends. And, you know, he was a 6th-round pick by the Orioles back in 2014, and it's been so up and down for him since the O's have had him. I think we're headed for a really interesting offseason with Tanner Scott. Again, you know, it's not like he's a free agent coming up. The Orioles don't have to do anything with him if they don't want to, but he is arbitration eligible coming up here after next season. And he's a free agent in a few years, 2025. And, you know, the Orioles are going to have to make some decisions with Tanner Scott somewhat soon, at least when he becomes arbitration eligible. Now, I think they're going to hold on to him. I think he's back in the Oriole bullpen in 2022. But he did not help his case the last 3 months of the season, dealing with the injury issues, basically couldn't throw a strike. I mean, we talked about it multiple times down the stretch with Tanner Scott. He basically pitched the last 3 months with one pitch. He knew where his slider was going. He had no idea where his fastball was going down the stretch this season. You can't get a lot of major league hitters out like that. And guess what? That's why he had an ERA close to six by the time his season ended here in 2021. So again, there is that slight possibility he comes back right at the end of the season, but it looks like he's pretty much done on the year. And, you know, again for Scott, you know, he still was able to get lefties out at a fairly high clip. You know, lefties only hit 203 against him, righties at 250. Obviously faced a lot more righties than he did lefties this year. You know, Brandon High was fine having him face, you know, guys throughout the lineup. And, you know, it was interesting, too, that he was pretty good in high leverage spots. You know, 13 innings in high leverage situations this year, opponents hit just 213 against him in those spots. He had 22 strikeouts in 13 innings in high leverage spots, but things just got away from him late in the year. And it's going to kind of be a reset once again for Tanner Scott in the offseason, because after 2020, you're thinking he finally figured it out. First half of 2021, you're thinking he finally figured it out. And then we see this again on the back half of the season. We're kind of back to square one with Tanner Scott. And, you know, we're going to be talking about this all offseason with him because, again, it looks like his season is done. Now, of course, the Orioles had to replace these two guys on the active roster with two spots open on now the 28-man roster. So the first guy they bring up is Marcos Duplan, who is right back in the major leagues with the Orioles. Duplan, who was optioned down to AAA, I believe, on Saturday over the weekend. But he is right back in the big leagues. The Orioles... now 24-year-old right-hander who is right back up there now. He's pitched in 16 games this year out of the Oriole bullpen, has a 5.49 ERA, 14 strikeouts, and 9 walks, 15 hits allowed in 19 and two-thirds innings. So I'm happy to see Duplan, you know, get another chance here. He started off strong. He got hit around lately. I hope he can kind of finish strong to this season, and then, you know, we'll get a really good look to see if he factors into the Orioles' bullpen plans in 2022, which I think he will be a guy who does just that. And then the other guy coming up, you know, I saw the Mateo news before I saw who was going to be added to the roster, and my initial thought was, well, this could be Rylan Bannon time. You know, he obviously was hitting much better in August. He's on the 40-man roster. Maybe time to give him his major league debut. Nope. Pat Falaka is back in the big leagues for the Orioles, the 29-year-old utility man who played in 71 games with the O's earlier this year, hit 192 with a 251 on base, 280 slugging, 4 homers, and 5 doubles. He was not good defensively. He was not good offensively. He could not replicate what he did in 2020 with the O's when, you know, he had a 791 OPS, hit 277, and 8 homers in 52 games. They sent him down to AAA in 22 games with the Tides. He hit 225 with a 244 on base, a couple of homers in that span. Hasn't been a great year for Pat Falaka, but for the Orioles, I think getting Falaka up there was just about, all right, let's finish these last, you know, 18 games or so with a veteran guy who's been in the big leagues for a long time now. He just turned 29. He's been with the Orioles before for the last couple of years. Let's just have him as a more veteran presence to work along with, you know, all these young infielders, because it's going to be Gutierrez, and it's going to be Arias, and it's going to be Jahmy Jones, and it's going to be Richie Martin. You've got all those guys combined with not a lot of experience, so you kind of add a vet in Falaka into the mix to get in there for the O's. So Falaka, Duplan back, Scott and Mateo on the IL, and it looks like both of them out for the season as well. But speaking of out for the season, there was one guy who we thought was going to be out for the season, who is kind of the last Orioles news and note of the day, is that Bruce Zimmerman may not be done for the year. Now, in terms of Bruce, you know, it has been a while since we have seen Zimmerman pitch for the Orioles. Remember, he came up at the end of 2020, threw in a couple games, and then the 26-year-old left-hander made the Orioles rotation out of spring training. He pitched well early in the year, hit a couple of rough patches on the way, but all in all, you know, 12 games, 11 starts in 2021. He had a 4.83 ERA in 59 and two-thirds innings, 53 strikeouts for Zimmerman, and 20 walks in that stretch, 12 homers allowed this year for him. But you know, the Orioles were kind of taking that 4.83 ERA. You kind of, you know, get 5 or 6 innings every time he went out there. And the Orioles took that for a while because there were not a lot of guys giving them what Bruce Zimmerman was in terms of at least length in the game. But we have not seen him pitch since June 13th when he started in Tampa Bay. He went on the injured list after that, and with left bicep tendonitis, And we have not seen him since then. He went on a rehab assignment in late July and in August. And then he had a training incident where he rolled his ankle, essentially, you know, training to get back and not even on the field, you know, did it in the weight room or something like that for Zimmerman, but sprained his ankle. Is a pretty bad ankle sprain. That happened in early August, and that set back his timeline once again. But we learned today that Bruce Zimmerman is going to make a rehab start this Saturday for Double A Bowie. He will make a rehab start in Bowie's final series, their second to last game of the regular season. Zimmerman will pitch. Now, the Triple A season is going to last a little longer. Bowie may also have, it looks like, most likely going to have at least 1 week of playoff games. So for Zimmerman, he might get a chance to pitch Saturday in Bowie. He could the next week also pitch in Bowie. And then potentially, he could get at least one more start in Norfolk, and maybe, even if it just takes two rehab starts, the Orioles could be setting this up to where there is a potential that Bruce Zimmerman, you know, maybe two starts at the end of the season would be asking a lot, but we could see him make one start at the end of the year here for the Orioles, come back from injury and get one more look at him, which I think would be great for Zimmerman, as he is, you know, after missing all this time, still, I think, in the Orioles' plans for the 2022 starting rotation, and would love to have him get back and at least make one start before this year is over. But that was the day of news and notes for the Orioles. Pretty busy day on Tuesday afternoon before the game against the Yankees. But we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get you ready for Wednesday's game against the Yankees. As the Orioles right back to the mindset, trying to play spoiler, keep the Bronx Bombers out of the playoffs. We'll talk about that when we come back. So we'll get back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first gotta tell you about Built Bar and all of their delicious flavors, like coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, that's just to name a few. And here's the thing about Built Bar. They've got all these delicious flavors of protein bars. You eat them, you kind of forget they're good for you. You think you're eating a candy bar, but that's the thing. Like I just mentioned, they are healthy too. They are good for you. That is the best part. Most of the bars have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from about 130 to 180, and only about 4 or 5 grams of sugar and 4 or 5 grams of net carbs in every single bar. And Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, so that's pretty neat. So if you want to get your hands on some of these delicious and nutritious protein bars, go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Now, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So the Orioles are right back at it tonight. Game 2 of 3 between the Orioles and the Yankees at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. The final series between the two teams this year. And the Orioles continue to just try and keep the Yankees out of the playoffs. Play spoiler once again. Tonight's game also starting at 7.05 p.m. Eastern time. Nestor Cortes Jr. will get the start for the Yankees. The former Oriole and the 26-year-old left-handed pitcher will take the mound for the 19th time in a Yankee uniform this season. He has a 2.70 ERA, 76 strikeouts in 73 and a third innings pitched on the year. His last start, he was pretty solid against the Toronto Blue Jays. 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, 5 Ks, and no walks. His start before that came against the Orioles last weekend. He allowed just 1 run on 4 hits over 5 and 2/3 innings while striking out 7 and walking just 2 against Baltimore back on September 3rd. And for Cortes, that was his only time facing the Orioles this season. But on the other side, Happy John Means Day to Oriole fans as the 28-year-old lefty will make his 23rd start of the season. He's got a 3.42 ERA in 126 and a third innings of work for the O's this year. Means coming off a pretty good start, one of his longest of the year against the Royals last week. 7 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 5 Ks, and 2 walks. And then the weekend before that, he did start against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. 5 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 5 Ks, and 2 walks in that one for John Means, who has actually not faced the Yankees too many times this year. His only other start against the Yankees came all the way back on April 7th, also at Yankee Stadium. In that one, he went 4 2/3, allowing a run on 7 hits, 4 Ks, and 2 walks. So tonight will be his first and only start against the Yankees at Camden Yards in 2021. Of course, a lot of that had to do with the amount of time John Means missed in the middle of the season because of the shoulder injury. But Orioles and Yankees game 2 tonight, and then we will be back on the podcast tomorrow recapping game 2, giving you the 5 things you need to know from that one. We'll also get you ready for game 3 of the series, where I will be in attendance for the 5:05 p.m. Eastern time start at Camden Yards on Thursday, and we'll also keep you updated with all the Orioles news and notes here on the pod. But that's all coming up on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.